Hello and welcome to episode 374 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is September 11th, 2023. I'm Rollo McFlugel, and with me is my co-host Slappy Jones. Show notes page for this episode will be McFlugel.com/374. And also, so that you can queue up the Phillies game, they are currently up 6-3
against Atlanta.
Yeah, and the second game of the doubleheader today.
Did they win the first one? I saw they were losing at one point.
So they were down 8-6 in the bottom of the ninth inning. And Bryce Harper was up with two outs and one on. And he hit a home run.
How about it?
And then I think the bullpen blew it.
Like they typically do lately.
Not the greatest...
For as hot as they were in August, the bullpen has been rough in September, in my estimation. Now, I got a question for Rollo, Mr. Manosphere. Is it alpha or beta to be feeding a baby while you do a podcast?
Well, if it's a girl, then it'd be pretty alpha. If it's a boy, then it'd be pretty beta.
The baby or the parent?
Either.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Giving you. I'm increasing your chances, Slappy.
Yeah. No, he's staring right at
wait,
me.
Wait, oh, hold on. The real question is, how are you feeding the baby?
Well, what's the thing they have? The pretend thing? No, I have a bottle. Bottle that the baby is drinking from, and he's staring me dead in the eyes, wondering what I'm talking about and who I'm talking to.
Yeah, probably thinking boring.
Yeah, exactly.
So NFL season started, and while I hate the end of summer, because I really do like the summer, and there's still plenty of September left, I do really enjoy football season.
Likewise.
I do like being able to sit down and just kind of, even if I'm not sitting down, just kind of doing stuff, but just having football on.
I do like watching football, although it gets harder every year. College football, we have all this realignment, changing everything in the game. The NIL is changing everything. NFL is becoming soft, like all these quarterbacks who throw for a million yards. I know, I'm the old man, get off my lawn. They wouldn't be able to do that in the 90s. You know, you watch a vicious defense and they just get flagged all over the place. They have to make defense legal. Still, I watch.
I wonder what side of the ball you played on.
The only side worth playing.
Special teams.
Hey, special teams are 1/3 of the game.
That's, well, perhaps. Maybe not by play, but I'll grant it to you.
By importance, and maybe by points even.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about the Eagles, probably who not, are but on pace for a perfect season, special again, teams played a pretty big role in their victory over the cheating New England Patriots yesterday, because Jake Elliott, you know, have a day. Despite missing that extra point.
He was just trying to make the game a little more interesting.
Right. And so that his, you know, field goals of like 8,000 yards that he drilled just were a little bit sweeter.
Pop one off the upright.
Yeah. And, pop. And pop. In. Oh, yeah. Yeah. of course, they showed his face after he hit that one and he was laughing. And like, what else do you do? It's great. I love that kind of thing. So, Slappy, what do you, Eagles 4th-and-2 with, a little bit over a minute left?
They're like around midfield or so.
And they line up. They line up. And I'm like, oh, looks like they're going for it. And I in my head, I'm going, they're not going to go for it. But also, you know that Kermit, the evil Kermit meme? Mm-hmm. In my head, I'm like, they're not going to go for it, but I'm also going to like snap it, snap it, snap it. And they did snap it, and they did not convert.
Now you know why you punt there. Put it on your defense with a minute to go.
What are your thoughts there, Slappy? Because we have this conversation, I feel like, every Monday during football season, because someone somewhere makes a gutsy call late in the game on going for it or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm on that team and I'm playing defense, all right, you have to say, oh, we were aggressive, we were trying to end the game, blah, blah. BS, punt the ball and put it on your defense to stop and go in 80 yards at best. Could be longer. You get a good punter, you get it inside the 20 or the 10, back them up, make them have to go the length for a touchdown. Not getting that, put their defense in a terrible spot, awful spot to try to end the game. If it's 4th and inches, fine, go for it. Quarterback sneak it, the most reliable play in the game. It's like 4th and 2. It wasn't that short.
I'm going to pull him Slappy and say, well, he saw something.
Maybe he did.
If they execute,
here's the thing. So first of all, talk to any football coach. If you execute, you score on every play, if that's what you want to do. But maybe they did see something, and maybe they saw a hole, and maybe they thought they were going to execute it, but there's a risk reward, and I would punt the ball. I'd punt the ball there every time, just like I would take points every time. What game? I can't remember what game I was watching.
Maybe Belichick yesterday. Yes. The Patriots. Gave up. They went for it on 4th down on.
So you're taking the points. Get the points.
Like
put
the red zone.
On the board. Yeah, put points on the board. Like, you just put your defense in a bad spot all game, and you can only get so, like, it gets very frustrating. You make a stop, your offense comes away with nothing when they should score. I get it. They're not going to score every time. You're not going to move the ball every time, but, like.
Well, the Patriots were down by 8 with, like, halfway through the 4th quarter, and they were down in the red zone, around the red. I don't know if they were in the red zone.
It was the chip shot field goal.
And Belichick went for it on 4th down. It wasn't like it was 4th and inches or anything. It was 4th and something, and I'm like, dude, like, scoring a touchdown and converting the 2-point conversion is by no means a gimme, which you saw what happened. That's what the Patriots did not convert their.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if that, there's like that was the bizarre.
Left, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But there was plenty of time left in the game. I don't know why. Like, you're getting the ball back. And let's be honest, the Eagles offense wasn't great all day.
No. But yeah, I agree with you on the Sirianni decision to go for it on 4th. I would have punted it. I mean, I guess you could say it's like, well, he's got confidence in his defense, and they did hold up. And yeah, I will say that the defense did make plays in the 4th quarter. They gave up that one touchdown, but they stepped up.
I get it. And like, if I'm playing defense, if I'm in the game and I'm a player, I'm saying, go for it. We'll stop them anyway. Like, you could be like, give me the ball on the 1-yard line. I don't care. We're stopping them. Right. But like, you know, so, you know, I don't know. If I have a good defense, I will certainly take, you beat me on a 90-yard drive. Fine. 1 minute. I mean, I'm not fine with it, but it's like, tip your hat to them. You went 90 yards in a minute, but then you give them a short field. Now they still had to score a touchdown. If it was a field goal game, he probably would have punted if it was a field goal difference.
Right.
But anyway, I'm going to get this baby in his crib. So I will return momentarily. You can either, I guess, do what you want. Pause, talk to yourself, get started.
I'll probably talk to myself for a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, because it is September 11th and it has to be mentioned. Mm. It is my parents' wedding anniversary.
Yeah. Congratulations. I will be right back.
So I did call them tonight to wish them a happy anniversary because I'm a good son. But no, I want to say, because I don't want to spend the whole episode talking about September 11th and stuff or all the stuff. But if for the longest time, you know, there's been talks about, was 9/11 an inside job? Did the, you know, all that kind of stuff. And for the longest time, among libertarians, the rally call was jet fuel can't melt steel beams. And eventually that got kind of like debunked that it doesn't need to melt. the steel beams for, you know, the building to collapse and everything. And then they just kind of like pivoted away from that. And kind of like gaslighted everyone. It was like, well, there was thermite found and everything. You know, it wasn't, you know, these other explanations for it came out after they got, you know, exposed for being idiots for thinking that you need to melt steel to, you know, for the building to be weakened. But I say that because just last week, and I know that like no one but me or anyone in my industry, Slapper, you back. He's milling around, but so I'll just do the slappy. Do you know what industry I work in? Oh, Raul, you work in the petrochemical industry. That is correct. And there was, I think it was BASF, a plant in Port Arthur, Texas. You can go look this video up. They had a tower, a vessel, a steel, you know, steel vessel, basically collapse on itself. It folded in half, pretty much. Fortunately, no one was hurt. No one was injured. No one was killed. Very fortunate. No, it was like a week ago.
Oh,
I'm lamenting that. About the jet fuel can't melt steel beams, people.
Oh.
And no, but there was a BASF plant in Port Arthur, Texas, that they had a vessel, like a vertical tower, pretty yeah. much just like fold in half on itself and fall over. So I don't know the exact
fuel.
Yeah. So I don't know the exact details of what happened. I don't think they kind of released what exactly happened, but based on the kind of unit it was, they were prep and all of like the things you can kind of piece together. They were prepping it or doing maintenance on it. And the process that was in that tower, and I forget exactly what it was, but it had the opportunity for a pyrophoric reaction, which is just like chemicals that if it gets in contact with the air, it can ignite.
All right.
And so there was probably an internal fire in this vessel.
Mm.
And that weakened the steel enough that it made the tower fall down, but like halfway up the tower. It like folded in half basically. And it didn't like break apart or anything. It just kind of like cinched in at this pivot point and kind of fell over. So, you know, this is just like, because we were talking about during our safety meeting at work today. We're watching the video and talking about it a little bit. This is like a perfect real world example that I'm sure that like no one is even aware that this happened, because unless you're in my industry and like, you know, or otherwise care about this stuff, this is not going to make the news for you unless maybe you live in Port Arthur right around this area. But yeah, perfect example of there's stuff that happens that like you need to have some sort of metallurgical, structural, you know, kind of knowledge on things to have an opinion on it, because it looked like this tower was made out of Play-Doh, and if you don't know kind of like the background or what can be going on with it, you're going to come up with whatever idiot dumb explanation that your brain can muster. So remember that when people are coming up with all sorts of explanations and ideas for something that's going on and crazy. So it's just appropriate maybe for today, because we had that Jeff, you can't melt steel beams meme going around that everyone was so sure about.
Well,
until they
can Jeff fuel melt steel beams?
I don't know if it can actually, probably not.
So there you go. Stop your whining.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go. Yeah, people need to go look up the ASME Section 2 Part D standard so they can go look at yield stresses at various temperatures. and how basically they start falling off a cliff around 600, 650 degrees Fahrenheit. It's frustrating being an engineer, Slappy. A real engineer, a mechanical engineer. Not
you
like
got to get to the train stop on time. People get mad at you.
Yeah. You know,
they're waving out the window to their wife that they're riding the train away from. You got to yell out all aboard. It's a tough job.
Yeah, blow the whistle. It's funny, you know, I wanted to be an engineer when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Yep. And I ended up achieving that goal just a little bit.
Not the way you envisioned it?
Exactly. Sorry, I'm like half paying attention now. Okay, so, all right, I got that out of my system. We talked about the Eagles. We talked about the Phillies. There was something else going on. You know, this prisoner. Everyone that lives in kind of my, you know, within.
Yeah, so like he's been on the run for a while now.
Yeah, now he's gone to a different town, shaved, cut his hair.
He like stole ice
cream, stole an ice cream truck or something. I have no idea. But this dude, like, for those of you that don't know, and this is kind of fun. I was talking about a coworker about this today. For those of you that don't know, and it's probably most of you, in the area, or you know, kind of close to where I live, there was a dude that escaped from a prison who, his background is that he murdered someone in Brazil and then illegally emigrated to the U.S. and then stabbed his girlfriend to death 37 times in the front yard of the house in front of the two children.
Nice fella.
Yeah. And then he's been in, I don't know how long he's been in the prison, but he was able to like crab walk up a wall because he's only 5 foot tall. So he's able to like crab walk up this wall in the prison, get on the roof, get through this barbed razor wire and stuff. Escaped through this like massive open field and has been on the lam for like 2 weeks since before Labor Day.
Yeah.
And the cops have and the state police and all these people have not been able to capture him. And then every turn, every step of the way, he just like keeps getting further and further away. Now he's in what, like 20 miles away, 10, 20 miles away from where he originally escaped from, and they can't find him?
I don't know. I know they had a perimeter around Longwood Gardens, and then I guess he got through that, and then he was Phoenixville or something.
Yeah, he's in Phoenixville now.
Oh, that's where he is now?
Yeah, they apparently like announced what they were doing, and then lo and behold, he steals an ice cream truck or something. And like gets through the spot where they weren't going to be. And it's like, if there were ever a time for the state to like be able to do something and accomplish something, this would be it. This guy does not seem like a good apple, and he probably shouldn't be running around doing whatever he's doing. And they're just displaying either utter incompetence or they're like in on it.
I mean, in fairness, like if you play manhunt in the neighborhood, kids get away. You give a whole big area. Like, don't they have like infrared? Like, you know, are they using helicopters? What are they doing?
Yeah, they had helicopters and planes around. I heard from a trusted source, there was like, well, because of the way that the vegetation and the temperatures were unseasonably warm, it would have been difficult to do infrared from the air. But the bigger issue, like an issue that no one's talking about, and I don't expect them to because they're not like weird libertarian anarchists like we are. But like, so everyone's not everyone anymore because a lot of people are pretty much done with the cops and their and what appears to be absolute incompetence with this. But a lot of people are like, oh, there was this social media thing or something where they were talking about, oh, we're going to give like care packages to the police and everything, trying to capture this guy because it's kind of hot out and it's probably not great. not pleasant for them to be standing around outside and everything. But, like, so the state puts prisons wherever they decide they're going to put a prison, right? We don't really get a choice for where they are. And they manage the prisons, and they manage the police, and they do all this kind of stuff. And then a prisoner escapes. And they go into, like, martial law and, like, have these checkpoints and search people's cars going in and out of this certain perimeter. And they're going in and, like, checking people's houses at whatever, you know, at their whims and everything. And doing all this, like, really tyrannical stuff, you know, while they're not catching the guy. And doesn't seem like they're getting any closer and all this kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, and you know, like, school has been canceled and it's had an effect on businesses. And, you know, if they cancel public schools, then parents might have to stay home and not be able to go to work and stuff. And, like, what's the accountability on the people that are supposed to keep this guy separated from society? There is none. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, if this were a private organization that were like, oh, we're going to set up this prison near this residential area, and then they're due to their whatever, like, the guy escapes, and then it causes disruptions in people's lives, they should probably be held accountable for that.
Yeah, to some absolutely degree.
You know, if a business is going to open up, hey, we're going to keep, you know, like, violent murderers here. And then the guy gets out, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, we got to, like, destroy your day-to-day lives and maybe, you know, disrupt your businesses. Maybe you can't go to work, you can't go to school. So it's going to have a definite economic impact on you.
Mm-hmm.
They should be liable for that. And if because of their mistakes, you can't go to work for a couple days, you know, I think it's reasonable to demand some of your wages from them to make up, because it's not your fault that happened. You know, if you're going to, it's just like if you're, you know, build some sort of plant, chemical plant or whatever, near someone's neighborhood, and you cause this, and you have a spill, and it disrupts people's lives. Maybe it, you know, pollutes their land or something. Like, you owe them restitution for that. What's the difference here? But, like, that, this is, like, the very pernicious, terrible thing about the state, is that they get to socialize, like, they get to socialize their funding, and then they get to just, like, dump all the negative consequences onto the individual. It's really terrible.
Now, what do you think will be the consequence of this? Do you think the guard, the guy, the warden, will someone get fired?
I heard the guard that was supposed to be watching their roof has already gotten fired.
Okay.
But, like, that doesn't make anybody.
No, it doesn't make anyone.
Who lost weight.
It doesn't do it. It actually doesn't solve anything. I was actually surprised. I'm somewhat surprised to hear that. I thought there was going to be, like, a meeting and a press conference and how we changed our, you know, whatever. Now it's safer and no one will do it again.
But, like, who are these prisons, these public prisons, hiring as guards? Because that's the other thing.
Best and brightest, like, in society.
I'm sure of it. I know a guy I went to high school with, a nice guy, but couldn't get out of his own way. And guess where he started working at? As a prison guard. And guess what he got in trouble for? Bringing drugs into the prison. Like, it's...
Surprised he got in trouble for it.
I know.
You must have... Like, I mean, you get anything in prison.
Exactly, yeah. What do you think these, like, the drug trade in prisons, yeah, come from? Like, what was I going to say, though, about that? But...
Not the best and brightest there? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's just... okay, I lost my train of thought. But it's just... It's goofy. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Like, all right, so you fired the guy that, like, didn't pay attention to the roof of the prison and the massive field that surrounds the prison and the fence line, so that in a situation like this, you'd be able to like see the guy trying, you know, running through the thing, running through the field, so you can go get him. You know, it's okay. So you fire the guy.
So you won't miss anyone else.
But like, what accountability is there to the system, the people, whatever, that like hired this guy and had it so that it was a situation where this would be a thing? Like, yeah, okay, it might not be the management that causes the direct problem. It might be some low-level idiot that does something. And in certain circumstances, you can't, like, you know, have perfect control over all of your underlings and everything. So I'm not trying to be like, oh, you know, because you could have a guy with a perfect record go to work and then just, like, go off the rails and do something insane.
Anything could happen, yeah. You can't be responsible for everything, but, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
But
what about
at the end of the day, you are accountable for the people that you hire. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they go off the rails or not, whatever it is, like, you are the ones that are managing him. You're the ones that hired him. You know, we can have some forgiveness, some leeway for certain things, but like, that's, you don't start from, oh, well, the people that hired him in the institution that had, you know, created this situation, you can't start from, oh, well, we can leave them off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, in private industry, it wouldn't work that way. If this were a private business that caused a massive disruption like this, it wouldn't, you know, people would be out for blood.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably so. Like, it would be really bad. Like, private businesses do bad, dumb things. They screw up, and they should be held accountable, and they oftentimes are. But when the state does it, no one freaking cares. Now, in this situation, a lot of the locals are upset. But at the same time, once this gets done, it gets blown over. I mean, I'd be surprised if there's any sort of remotely long-term consequence for this screw up.
There won't be.
No. So it's frustrating. And I just hope that
it'll probably work out for the prison, because they'll be like, we need to hire more guards. And so their budget will go up and the warden will get a nice raise and they'll hire a bunch of more intrepid employees.
Yeah, just pull from the CSA.
Exactly. And get them on their way out of the airport. Hey, you want a raise?
Yeah.
You've been tracking down terrorists for years. Why don't you come join us? Yes.
Well, so this saga can... What's this dude's name?
Starts with C, right?
Yeah, let me look it up so that people can look it up. It's Danilo, right? Danilo.
It is Danilo.
Cavalcante,
yeah.
And it's just funny because, like, I was talking to that same coworker I was talking to earlier. Like, this is made national news, but it's not, like, something that's being talked about. Like, on the timeline on Twitter, I don't see anyone talking about this. And so it just goes to show, you know, when you're freaking out about the news of the day, and it's being served to you. You know, whatever story that you come across in some local podunk town that's being made a big deal and you're making it a big deal, just realize that you're probably being played like a fiddle, mm-hmm. because that is what those in power have decided that you should be freaking out about. This is not just because I want the general area where I live to be, you know, front and center in the news. Although maybe that might be part of it.
You've been driving around trying to find the reporters on the side of the road so you could get interviewed or get a shot on TV.
Yeah. We just don't get enough attention out here. We deserve more.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's crazy to me. Like, I would think this would be a pretty, I don't know. For the stories that I see that make national news that people freak out about, and then I see this happening.
Like the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, exactly, Slappy. It's just funny.
It is.
And you wonder why this is kind of getting shoved under the rug. I'm sure there's like, plenty of local stories. You know what's
crazy,
like
too? There's not that many roads out there.
No. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's only so many escape routes, especially in a truck.
Well, he had to cross 926.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, there's only
even before all this kind of stuff, he had to cross apparently on foot. And they let him get by.
It just can't. It's kind of, I mean, you know, easy to sit here and criticize them. I don't know what they're doing. Although, you know what? To be honest, I don't know how many of those guys actually want to find them. Like, look, go out here. It's like the what was that story about the Border Patrol? Maybe there was like a whistleblower or something, but he was like, no one goes after the drug dealers because it's really easy to just catch the families. Like, you don't have to, there's no danger in it. So it's like, why go try, this guy killed two people with a knife and he's desperate on the run. Like, oh, I'm out here looking really hard, can't find him. You know, that's playing in the back of some of their heads.
Right.
That's not all of them. Cause there are some real bad dudes on the police force. Like that guy who ran into the school with the tranny shooting it up. I don't know if you saw that body cam footage. He was a man.
I think I saw that.
It was pretty. I mean, he was like action hero. Pulled up his car, got his gun, went in, took care of business. Didn't hesitate for a second.
Okay.
You remember that one? We're not usually patting cops on the back here. It was pretty impressive.
No, there was another one kind of recently where there was a an active shooter and a cop came up and. They exist.
Took them out. Yeah, they're out there. And like, if there's, yeah, I mean, it's a profession for people who have that bend, who are little nuts, who want to do that stuff. I mean, where else are you going to do it?
And that's the other point. That reminds me of the other point that I want to make up. Or
what point are you making up?
All of them. But, so. You have the government tells you that they are protecting you and they're in control and that you don't need a gun to protect yourself and everything. And don't worry about it. We got it. And then something like this happens where a violent murderer gets out and he's going around neighborhoods and everything. And you've like neutered your populace.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if this happened in a different area, even just a couple miles west or south or north even, you would have had people being like, come and try me, dude. Like, this would have been over in not a very long time with this guy.
Yeah, I think he broke into a couple houses, right? I don't know if the homeowners were in there or not. Maybe not.
But when you convince people that they need the government to come in and protect them and all this kind of stuff and like give up your weapons and give up all your autonomy and everything. Like, this is what you get. That you like now all of a sudden you have to rely on this socialist, incompetent, evil institution to try to like do a job and have some courage where they don't really freaking care because they don't live in this neighborhood or something. And they don't want to get hurt. Whereas it's like if you had a bunch of dudes being like, our families are at risk.
Yeah.
Let's go out and get this guy. Because we're not going to sit here and wait for something bad to happen. Let's go get him. But this is the problem when you have this idea that the state is there, that they are going to protect you and that they are your security force. And that, like, you don't need to protect yourself because, well, we have the police. Well, this is what you get. you know, you get this exact thing. They're not catching him. They're doing a real bad job. And this guy's just, there's a one story of this guy that said he woke, and who knows if this is true, but let's assume it is true. And I wouldn't be surprised if it were true. This guy says, like, oh, I was up in the middle of the night and I heard something downstairs. And I flicked the lights off and on. And then the person downstairs flicked the lights off and on too. And, you know, it was like he got stuff stolen or something. So there was reason to believe that it was this Danilo, whatever his name is. It's like, okay, assuming that's true, like, that's pretty wild that you would, like, this is what a dude who should be protecting his family would do. I don't know. I don't want to sit there and say, like, oh, you got to go to battle and do it. There's a certain time where it's like, you know, given everything, like, if this dude, like, breaks into your house or something and he's downstairs and there's no evidence he's going to, like, come upstairs and go after you, like, dude, let him steal your,
take a position,
whatever food. And, let him do whatever. You don't necessarily want to engage, but, you know, we just see what happens when people just act like the state is there to be their, wipe their butts for them, because they're not going to. And we've talked about it before. We have articles. Look up Warren versus the District of Columbia.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about whether the state, you know, has an obligation to protect you or not.
No, they don't legally.
Yeah.
Even if you call them.
That is right. So, all right, I got that out of my system. I want to talk about something else that was kind of funny. That happened in Bitcoin.
All right.
So in block number 800,757, I'm reading this from at Sunny Decree. Someone paid $500,000 for a Bitcoin transaction. Let me just open up. No, I'm not going to read the tweet or this guy. I'm just going to open up the transaction thing. Yeah, so they paid a fee rate of 8,182,079 sats per virtual byte, which came out to a fee of 1,982,108,632 sats, which as of right now, on September 11th, comes out to about $511,000.
Guess they wanted to be on the next block.
So, yeah, this had one input and one, two, three, four, five outputs plus the fee. So that comes out to, you know, basically 20 Bitcoin was the fee.
Nice.
Well, it looks like they did.
Was that an accident or was that?
So they did. It was a replace by fee transaction, so they could have bumped it if they needed to. But, you know, on mempool.space, it gives you like the fee rate and about, you know, some statistics on what it would have required to get into the next block. And they overpaid by a factor of 481,299. Mm-hmm. And if you hover over that thing, it says only about 17 sats per virtual byte was needed to get into this block.
So what's going on there? That smells funny.
So there's a lot of people that think that this was just like a fat finger kind of situation.
That's a very fat finger.
Right. There are other people, including Sunny Decree, that thinks it's a it was intentional. It was a kind of a money laundering thing, and actually, that's kind of what I originally thought.
This could make sense, on purpose.
Yeah. For some reason, they wanted to pay this miner a lot of money for something. I don't know what it would have been. I don't know why, but that's kind of like it's because The only way that a fat finger thing like this could work is if you were pulling from a UTXO or your wallet had at least this many Bitcoin in it. Not many, and people are surmising this is from an exchange. I don't know if that's verified or not. But the only way that this would actually work, that this would happen, is if, you know, you put in the fee rate of that high and you had enough Bitcoin to support that. And this is the reason. The other reason I think it was probably somewhat intentional was because it has a single input, a single UTXO that was about about 2 Bitcoin. So it's kind of like. It'd be pretty a big coincidence to say, like, you know, oh, hey, this. How unlucky that is that you just happen to have a UTXO that you're pulling from that's that much and your fee rate ends up being that high. But so the question is, it's like, well, if this were on purpose and they were trying to give this certain miner this huge amount of Bitcoin, well, how could that work? Because they don't know that miner is going to mine. Yeah, because if you send that transaction out there, it's just out in the mempool, and whoever mines the next block is you know, 99.9999999% chance going to add that transaction to their block.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You don't have to, like, a valid transaction is a valid transaction. So Slappy, if you're a miner and I want to pay you this way, for whatever mm-hmm. reason, I just want to pay you in exorbitant miner fees.
Mm-hmm.
I could just send you the transaction and not broadcast it out.
Not broadcast it. Yeah, just broadcast it once you mine the block. When you next mine a block, then put it in the block.
Yeah, but I don't have to send that out to everybody else. I could just send it to you directly, and you don't have to send it out.
Add it in the block, and then and then broadcast it to everyone.
Yeah, because it's a valid transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So when the nodes go and like look at everything, they can be like, "Yep, that's a valid transaction. I might not have it, but I don't need
your mempool doesn't out.
Yeah, the node's mempool doesn't need a transaction, in order for it to accept a block, because not every like really you could set your mempool on your node to have zero size so that they're basically you don't have a mempool." That doesn't mean there's valid transactions that don't exist out there.
Right.
So, yeah, that's how you could do it. I mean, maybe whoever did this is like trying to they had to pay these people something, but then they decided like, oh, we could like claim this as a loss. A massive loss.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, well, oh, man, we didn't mean to do this. Who knows? I mean, maybe this is payment for like getting transactions in as things get more. Maybe these people send a lot of transactions out there, and they anticipate some difficulty with getting into blocks with fees going up. So maybe this is like being like, hey, you're gonna like we're gonna send you transactions, and you're gonna make sure these get in the blocks, and we're paying you up front for this service. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, that's the reason why there's a fee, you know, market and everything. Sure. So it might be kind of goofy, but it's kind of difficult to fat finger something that bad.
Yeah.
But this brings up another. I don't know if you had anything else you want to talk about this, because there's just not that much information out there that I'm aware of to be able to talk about it all that much more. But. The other day on Twitter, I saw someone it was talking about use different exchanges, and someone brought up either Strike or Cash App to use. And someone said, commented, like, I don't want to use Stryker Cash App because of the limits. And I don't want to have a bunch of 5 million sat transactions that I have. And so I was like, why is that? And he goes, well, because as fee rates go up, you know, it's going to be more expensive to move that. And it's like, okay. Slappy, what do you think about that? Like, in the future, Bitcoin become, like, are you worried about 5 million or 5 million sat UTXOs in your wallet? Assuming, you know, hyper-Bitcoinization happens, fee rates go up and everything.
Well, what I'm hopeful for is there will be layers upon layers that we won't be settling every single transaction or many transactions at all.
No, but even outside of that, let's say you have to make some on-chain transactions and you have, and it costs $1,000. Let's say the average is $1,000 to send a transaction. And you have a bunch of 5 million sat UTXOs.
Mm-hmm.
Are you concerned about that?
Am I concerned about $1,000 transaction fee?
Yeah.
I mean, depends how important I need to get it on there. I don't follow the question. Like, if I really need to transact something on the final layer, maybe it's going to be expensive to get it in there.
But let me frame it like this way.
I feel like you're my teacher here, grilling me.
What situation do you think that we're going to be in where it costs like $1,000 to make an on-chain transaction?
Just to get on the chain?
Yeah. Is that like a good situation? Is that a good situation or a bad situation?
I mean, I'd be feeling pretty good about the amount of Bitcoin I have. And I don't think I'd be too concerned with...
Right. So how much do you think 5 million Satoshis is going to be worth in dollars if it takes $1,000
to just get on the blockchain?
Yes.
I mean, that's, yeah.
Do you think we'll have dollar sat parity?
Pretty darn close.
Yeah. So let's say it's 5 million sats is worth $5 million.
Like, are you upset? $1,000. I mean,
are you upset about $5 million?
Because even like
$1,000.
You remember, like, there's been times where the fee is fairly high. I've never paid a really high fee. I always keep it low and just wait. I don't have eventually it gets on a block. I've never had one stuck forever.
But to put it
so, I hear what you're saying. So it's like, right now, we have not had, as far as I'm aware, $1,000 blocks, have we?
$1,000 blocks or fees?
Yeah, like fee for a block. I said blocks. I meant to get on the block, a fee, yeah. Like, if it's happened, it's maybe been one time, and
I mean, we had a $500,000 fee.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, but to get on the block... Minimum, yeah. Like, all right. So you're telling me like it'll never settle for less than $1,000? We're in a good spot.
So to put this into perspective, let me make sure I did this correctly. 1,000 divided by 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 5 million is 0.0002. So 0.02% is 1,000 into 5 million. So right now, according to mempool.space, a high priority transaction, which will get you on the next block, is 13 sats per virtual byte. And based on the current price of Bitcoin, let's say it's 46 cents. So 46 cents divided by 0.0002 is $2,300. So that's like right now, like the equivalent of $1,000 to move $5 million would be like spending 46 cents to move $2,300. Mm-hmm. That seems okay to me.
You're not going to be too concerned if you're moving $2,000 to pay 43 cents.
Right. Well, 46 cents, so, yeah.
Oh, well, never mind then. Take that back.
But, yeah, like, $1,000 is a lot. But, you know, that kind of puts into perspective. And that's why it's, like, kind of funny when I see these people being like, oh, well, this is way too fight. And that's why it's, like, what I want to say is people talk about, like, consolidating UTXOs and everything and freaking out and everything. And it's like, oh, I don't want to get stuck if I have a 500,000 sat UTXO. It's going to be stuck in the mempool forever. I'm not going to be able to, you know, spend it or anything. But, like, you know, the fee market's going to go up in dollar, you know, value as the price is going to go up. So, you know, just think of, like, and obviously this isn't like a perfect thing there. You know, fees might spike up and you're going to have dust UTXO that you're really not going to be able to move. But like, consider the appreciation in price when you're thinking about this, and like, don't go out of your way necessarily to consolidate UTXOs. Now, I'm not saying don't consolidate UTXOs, but at the same time, don't freak out over it. Because if you've got a 250,000 sat UTXO and it might, you know, cost $500 to move it down the line, which sounds like a lot, mm-hmm. but if that's worth $150,000, like, okay. Like, I think we'll all be pretty cool with spending $500 to move that.
Yep.
So, just keep that in perspective. Put that into your model, if you will, when you're thinking about this kind of stuff, as opposed to getting super super concerned about what might happen, and losing sleep over doing UTXO consolidation. Do what you feel comfortable with. I'm not, you know, saying that there's a perfectly right way and a perfectly wrong way to doing this, but like, be reasonable about it. Like, do we think Bitcoin's going to become global money and it's going to appreciate value, or do we not? You know, there's one thing, there's a difference between like trying to consolidate UTXOs that are worth like, you know, 1300 sats. And trying to consolidate them at like, you know, one or two sats per byte versus, oh, I've got a 10 million sat UTXO. And I'm really concerned. I better consolidate that with five other 10 million sat UTXOs. No, like, stop. You're being insane. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be 21 million movable UTXOs, assuming they're all worth one Bitcoin. I mean, that's just silly. I think it's like the sats per byte is going to scale. I think it's going to increase, but I don't think it's going to be all that like insane in a value situation. Relative value situation versus whatever money you're trying to move because of the price appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we had a suggestion. I got a DM from someone bringing up that transaction, that $500,000 fee transaction. It's like, oh, maybe this is a good podcast topic. And it is, because we could jump off a little bit from it and talk about something that's been kind of bugging me for a while.
Yeah.
So, Slappy, I think you got to go soon, right?
Yeah, I turn into a pumpkin shortly.
Yeah. But I think that's all I wanted to talk about. You good?
I'm good. I think we're good here.
All right.
Oh, you know what? Next Monday, I'll have to talk to you. I won't be here. I'll be on an airplane.
Okay.
So we'll have to record ahead of time.
Yeah, and I think the following Monday I'm going to be in Cleveland. So I'll have to record ahead of time for that as well.
Right on.
So, all righty.
All right. Well,
thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Peace.